This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you this week. Beginning with Boston Blackie, you'll hear his episode from November 15th, 1945, titled Murder in the Music Room. After that, it's Broadway is My Beat and the Joey Croft Murder Case, his episode from June 23rd, 1952.
Got an idea for the lyric yet?
Play that melody once more, Dick. I think I've got some.
It's about time.
Okay, hold it. How's this? Love won't call again. I won't fall again. Till I meet another you. Hey, that's not bad.
It never was bad.
Well, that tune of yours sounds like 800 others. How do you expect me to get any kind of original idea for a lyric? Give me something to work with.
Look, Bill, we've been fighting like this for months, and we haven't written a hit tune in months. We've got to do something.
You want to break up the team?
I don't want to, but we both seem to be written out. Those last songs we did, well, if Joe Hendrix wasn't our friend as well as our music publisher, he'd have thrown them out in the alley. You put together an awful lot of bad lyrics for that group.
So it's my fault. The lyrics were bad. Because I couldn't save those tired tunes of yours, it's my fault. That'll punch you right in the nose.
That would be a fine answer to our problem.
It would at least give me some satisfaction. Dick, I'm warning you. I don't like violence. But I'm getting to a point where I'm going to forget how much I hate violence and remember only how much I dislike you.
And now meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Of course I know Joe Hendrix, Mary, but I won't know him long if I ask him to publish the song of your cousin.
Oh, well, maybe it isn't so bad, Blackie.
Mary, dear Mary, everybody in this country at some time or other has an idea he can write a song.
Oh.
This happens to be the time that the thought struck your cousin. It should have been a trolley car.
Oh, Blackie. Oh.
Okay. You just made a bargain. You laughed at my joke. I'll take your cousin's song to Joe Hendrix. Let me have it. I want to see how it goes, so I know what I'm selling you.
Here's the copy. And, darling, when you play it, use the other nine fingers, huh?
I'll do better than that. I've got a pretty bad baritone voice I've been holding back for years. Well, let's see how this epic goes. Good, huh? Let me croon beneath the moon in the merry month of June, while all the while you smile as you listen to my tune. Oh, my mother used to say I should never have taken piano lessons, and she was right. Mary, that song is awful.
It didn't sound too bad, Blackie.
Oh, you're just crazy about my voice.
You say the nicest things about you. Is the song really terrible?
Awful. That's one of the reasons I'm taking it to Joe Hendrix right now.
Wait a minute. The song is bad, and still you're going to take it to Mr. Hendrix, the music publisher?
Certainly, I forgot to tell you. I don't like Hendrix.
I'll call all three hotels. You'll have to register in one of them. Leave word to call Joe Hendrix when he checks in. Right. Ah, phones all the time, phones. Yeah? Boston Blackie? Sure, send him in.
Da-dee-da-da-da. Go on in, Mary.
Thank you, dear.
Hiya, Joe.
Hello, Blackie. Long time no high C.
This is Joe Hendrix, Mary. He and Inspector Faraday make the worst jokes in the world.
How do you do?
Hello.
Well, what can I do for you, Blackie?
I've got a song, Joe. I'd like you to publish it. Here.
What's the title? in a blue canoe with you. You're kidding with that, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Hendricks. We're very serious. My cousin wrote it.
Your cousin ought to be a very happy character that he's your cousin, Miss Wesley. That's fame enough for anybody. Take this song back, Blackie. Put it on the floor and let it crawl out of here by itself.
Well, don't you even want to hear it?
If I want bad songs, I got Dick Alton and Bill Rutley under contract. They've written nothing but bad songs for the past year.
Say, how are the boys? I haven't seen them in quite a while.
Physically, they're fine. Mentally, they're out of town.
How about actually?
They're in the piano room down the hall trying to write a song.
Oh, please, Mr. Hendricks, won't you listen to my cousin's number? Blackie can play it for you.
How bad is it, Blackie?
I can tell you in one word. Very. But I got an idea.
What is it?
It isn't so bad that a professional songwriting team couldn't fix it up. Where'd you say Alton and Rutley were, Joe?
In the piano room down the hall.
I'm going down to see them. Maybe they'll do something about your cousin's song, Mary. I won't be too long.
Phones, 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 all the time phones. Excuse me, Miss Wesley.
Of course.
Hello, Hendricks speaking. Tommy boy, when'd you get in town, Tommy boy? Swell, swell. How's the lip in the old trombone? Sure, it always was the best. Tommy, I'm glad you called back. I got a score that's atomic, a musical comedy score. You know the show, Are You With It? How about doing Here I Go Again from it? It's a terrific tour. Well, sure, I listened to your broadcast. Wouldn't miss him. Oh, you did the song last night. Small world, ain't it? Hey, drop around for lunch tomorrow, huh, Tommy? About 4 o'clock, I got some new tunes to show you, Tommy. See? Terrific, Tommy. Thanks for calling, Tommy.
I know, Tommy. This is a very interesting business, Mr. Hendricks. Oh, Blackie, there you are. Did you find Dick Alton and Bill Rutley?
Yes, but they were too busy to work on your cousin's song.
Oh.
Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
What's your hurry, Blackie? Sit still, hang around a while. I'll buy lunch.
No, thank you, Mr. Hendricks. I get hungry long before 4 o'clock.
I'm a normal girl. And what are you doing with Blackie?
Thanks, Joe, and thanks for turning down this tune, pal. Remind me not to do something for you sometime.
Don't leave, Blackie. Listen, did you hear the gag about...
You're right, Blackie. I think we better leave. Well, Mr. Hendricks, it was very nice.
What was that?
Sounded like a scream, and nothing sounds like a scream except a scream.
It came from that direction.
Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
All right, but I never knew you to run away from...
Joe! It's Bill Rutley's wife. Honey, what's the matter?
It's all full, Joe, it's all...
Come on, kid, snap out of it. What is it?
Joe, the other room. Go look for yourself.
Come on, Blackie, there's only one other room, and that's the piano room where Dick and Bill were working. Let's go.
Are you with us, Mary?
Right here, Blackie.
Yeah, this is the piano room.
Okay, hold everything, kids.
Oh.
Holy mackerel.
Stay back, Mary.
Dick Alton. And he's been shot through the heart. I guess I better call the police.
I guess you'd better. Inspector Faraday likes nothing better than a nice, clean murder he might possibly pin on me.
Hey, Blackie, you were in here only a few minutes ago and Alton was alive then. You said he didn't want to work on that song you brought me.
That's right.
Maybe you better stay here, Blackie. Maybe you couldn't talk Dick into helping you. Maybe you got tired of shooting off your mouth and switched to shooting off your gun.
Okay, get them all ready for the lineup, Jenkins.
Yes, Inspector.
Get the woman out there first. Okay, Rollins, take this down. Then take down what she says. Name, Mrs. William Rutley. Occupation, housewife. Charge, suspected homicide. Well, Mrs. Rutley, what have you got to say?
Nothing. I haven't done anything.
Inspector, why don't you get smart? She found the body, that's all. That doesn't make her a killer.
Shut up, Blankie. I run things down here. Mrs. Rutley, did you kill Dick Alton, your husband's father?
No. No, all I did was find him already dead. That's all I know. Oh, please let me get down from here. These lights.
She's fainted, Faraday. Happy now?
When that dame comes to, Rollins, take her in and book her for murder. I'll be in my office.
He'll be in his office, Rollins, with me.
Beat it, Blackie, before I find a reason why you wanted Alton dead.
Oh, I had a reason, Inspector.
Huh?
A reason, but not a motive. There's a subtle difference there. You wouldn't understand. Faraday's booked Mrs. Rutley for Dick Alton's murder, Mary. But he's too good a cop to stop there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be out looking for Alton's partner, Mrs. Rutley's husband, right now. Only if we're lucky, we'll find him first.
Well, Mr. Hendricks said he hangs out in this place. You see him?
The bartender might be of some help. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, what do you have?
A little information for now. Do you know a fellow named Bill Rutley?
Why, sure, he's over in that last booth. Back there.
Thanks. Come on, Mary.
Blackie, Something's bothering me.
Something in your shoe or something in your eye?
Something on my mind. Was Dick Alton alive when you went into the piano room to get him to work on my cousin's song?
Good question, Mary. Remind me to answer that sometime. Well, here's the last booth, and coincidentally, here's Bill Ripley. Hiya, Bill.
Huh?
Mind if I sit down?
Hello, Blackie.
This is Mary Wesley, Bill.
Hello.
Hello.
Say, you look low. Things aren't that tough.
Aren't they?
No. I think I found a way to get Faraday to release your wife.
Oh, well, thanks, Blackie. I appreciate that. Only it doesn't get me out of the mess.
You're in a mess, Mr. Rutley?
That's right. Dick and I were fighting. Everybody knows that. I was just out for a walk when Dick was shot.
I wouldn't worry, Bill. The fact that you and Dick were quarreling wouldn't hold as a motive for murder.
No, but the insurance would.
What insurance?
Partnership insurance. See, when Dick and I were hot a couple of years ago, we took out partnership insurance. $100,000 worth.
Ooh.
The only business-like thing I ever did in my life. When that policy's uncovered, I'll be in a spot.
You're in such a spot that the heat is beginning to affect me. Bill, tell me all you know about Dick.
Well, he was single. Legitimate. He didn't play around. But...
Yeah?
Well, there was some talk a while ago about him and Hendricks' wife.
Joe Hendricks' wife?
Yeah. I didn't believe it, and Dick denied it. Oh, but that was 6 months ago. It couldn't mean anything.
No, maybe not, but it's worth taking a crack at. I've got to go down and get your wife out of jail. But you've got nothing to worry about if you didn't kill your partner. And remember, I said, if you didn't kill him. I don't suppose you want to listen to me, Faraday.
Blackie, I don't even want to look at you.
Oh, well, if you don't want me to tell you why Mrs. Rutley couldn't have murdered Alton, I won't.
So don't.
You mean I can't tease you into asking me to prove that?
Blackie, you couldn't make me carry an asbestos umbrella if it was raining fire. You're leaving now?
You're a little too smug, Faraday. You know something. And there's a remark I never thought I'd make.
Bye-bye, Blackie Bird. Be seeing you.
Inspector, you're holding Mrs. Rutley, but I checked her arrival at the Hendricks building and found that she got in the elevator only a few seconds before she found Dick Alton's body.
Yes, genius.
Any smart cop would have done the same thing, only, of course, he wouldn't be any relation of yours. What I'm trying to tell you is that according to the coroner's report, the body had been dead at least a half an hour before Mrs. Rutley found it.
Okay, you've told me. So long, Blackie.
Still the same old Faraday. You won't listen to me.
Sure, I'll listen.
But it's a little boring.
You see, I checked all the details about the elevator myself this morning. And Mrs. Rutley has been free for 2 hours.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Dick Alton, part of the songwriting team of Alton and Rutley, has been murdered. The body was discovered by Mrs. Rutley, who promptly was booked for murder by Inspector Faraday, but later released when it was proven that she came into the building only seconds before she found the body, and that the body had been dead almost a half hour at that time. Boston Blackie has discovered that the songwriting team had a partnership insurance policy payable to one on the death of the other, which makes Bill Rutley a suspect. But he has also uncovered the fact that at one time there was talk concerning the murdered man and the wife of Joe Hendricks, music publisher. As we return to our story, Blackie is in Hendricks' office.
I can't talk to you now, Blackie. I'm busy.
Don't talk. Listen. Joe, I hear that there was some gossip concerning Dick Alton and your wife about 6 months ago.
Where'd you hear that?
What's the difference where? It's true, isn't it?
There was some talk? Sure, that's true. Only I never paid any attention to it. Hey, you're not thinking.
I don't know why you say that. Jealousy is a pretty strong motive.
You think I killed Dick Alton for something that happened 6 months ago, if it happened at all, which I doubt?
It could be. You know, Joe, you're in a fascinating business. Words, music. Stay honest and the world dances to your songs.
But...
But fool around with murder, Joe, and you'll dance at the end of a rope. Please connect me with Mr. Lambert. This is Inspector Faraday again.
Blackie, you'll get into trouble.
Shh, Mary.
Lambert speaking. How are you, Inspector?
Fine, thank you. How are things at the bank? Anybody cash in there lately?
Ouch.
Things are fine here, Inspector. I have the information you wanted on the bank accounts of Dick Alton and Bill Rutley. Just a second.
I'll wait. We're getting somewhere, Mary.
We're going somewhere. To jail if Faraday ever finds out you're using his name.
So he'll brag about it, that's all he'll do.
Hello, Inspector Faraday.
I'm still here.
Richard Alton's account has remained around $30,000 for several years. William and Mary Rutley have a joint account. It was very large at one time, but there's just a few thousand left now. Checks have been drawn against it every few days for the past month.
Who signed the checks, and to whom were they made out?
Sorry, I don't have that information at the moment. If you'd care to drop down to the bank, I'd be glad to get the checks we have on hand.
I'll do that, and thanks very much. Goodbye. The net result of that call was to find out that Dick Alton had $30,000, that Mrs. Rutley had the same first name as yours, Mary, that she and her husband had a joint account, and that it's shrunken considerably in the past month.
Put that all together and it spells...
Murder? I doubt it. Come in.
Expecting anyone?
Not that I know of.
Good evening, Blackie.
Well, Mrs. Rutley, please come in.
I didn't mean to intrude, Blackie. I just came by to thank you for your help.
Well, you're not intruding at all, Mrs. Rutley. Glad you dropped in. This is Mary Wesley.
How do you do?
Hello.
Well, sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
Cigarette?
Yes, thanks.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. I have no matches. I did have a lighter, but I wore out one of the parts, my thumb.
I have my own matches, thank you. Maybe if I can ever find them in this bag of mine.
Don't you find that no matter how big a handbag you carry, it's never large enough to hold what a girl needs?
I certainly do.
Well, Eureka, uncovered one book of matches.
Ooh. Here, I'll light your cigarette, Mrs. Rutley. Let me have them. There you are.
Thank you. Blackie, are the police close to finding Dick's murderer?
I don't know, Mrs. Rutley. All I do know is I'm not.
Well, I'm sure you will be.
Thank you, Mrs. Rutley. I'll just sit back and listen while you tell me how wonderful I really am.
I'd like to, Blackie, but I really did come down just to thank you, and I have thanked you, so I guess I'll run along. Nice to have met you, Miss Wesley. Don't bother, Blackie. I can get the door myself. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, she has charm, Blackie.
You have green eyes, Mary.
I do not. They're just sharp. I'm the observing type. For instance, I observed that you forgot to give Mrs. Rutley back her matches.
The Rio Cafe, it says on the matchbox cover. Ever been to the Rio?
Nope. I don't go for that rumba and samba stuff. I like to dance in English.
The Rio's quite a spot. Dancing hall downstairs. If you know the right people, you get in. I wonder how Mrs. Rutley got these matches.
I once had a book of matches with an advertisement on the cover urging me to buy my hay, feed, and grain at Davenport, Iowa. Too far, though. I just let my cattle get hungry.
The talk is good, but the results are negligible. Get your coat on, Mary. We're bound for the bank.
To the bank? Could I just throw in a casual why?
To withdraw some information and deposit it to the account of an unsolved murder.
Here are the checks, Inspector Faraday, just as you asked for. They're the ones drawn this month on the joint account of William and Mary Rutley.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. Do you mind if my secretary and I look them over?
Well, not at all, Inspector. Just call me if you want anything.
Look, Mary, except for a few small ones, all the checks are pretty large amounts.
Mm-hmm.
All made out to cash and signed Mary Rutley.
Who endorsed them, Blackie?
Let's see. Edward Stone. And Edward Stone endorsed them all. Well, they don't mean anything till we find out who Edward Stone is.
We can always try the phone book.
Yes, we can. Right after.
Right after what?
Right after we try the Rio Club. Maybe we'll find that they have an Edward Stone there. It's worth a try, anyhow. Come on, the phone booth is over here. Now, just Just wait here while I phone the Rio Club. Let's see, the number should be on this matchbox. Oh, yes, here it is. Circle 9, 7800. Keep your fingers crossed. Eddie Stone, please.
Mr. Stone, just a moment. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Stone?
Yes, Stone speaking.
This is Mr. Fleming at the 12th National Bank. You endorse several checks made out by Mrs. Mary Rutley.
Sure. Glad they bounce.
No, they're good. I just wanted to verify your signature.
It's mine, all right. I don't write so good. I'm just learning.
I see. Oh, Mr. Stone, if I wanted to come to the Rio Club, could you see to it that I was allowed downstairs?
You know about the downstairs?
A friend of mine told me about it. Bill Rutley?
He's never been here. His partner, the guy who got bumped yesterday, started coming here about a month ago. Did pretty well, too.
Well, I couldn't very well get him to take me to the club, could I?
No, I guess not. Hey, Mr. Fleming, I don't see no harm in you coming down here. You don't need no friend, just ask for me.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Stone. Thank you very, very much. Goodbye. It worked, Mary.
Good.
Now I've got to get Faraday on the wire and ask him to have Hendricks and Mr. and Mrs. Rutley in Hendricks' office in half an hour.
All right, Blackie. I got Joe Hendricks and Mr. and Mrs. Bill Rutley inside in Hendricks' office, just as you asked. Now, don't you think it's about time you told me why I did it?
You did it, Faraday, because you have great confidence and implicit faith in me.
And because I'm a little bit dumb. Half the time I listen to you, I could kick myself after.
But the other half of the times, you pat yourself on the back.
Now, this is one
you?
Of the kicking times. I can feel it. Tell me, what are those three doing inside?
One of them murdered Dick Alton. Well, take a deep breath. Here we go. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Blackie.
Take a seat, Faraday. Go ahead, sit down.
What's the idea of this, Blackie? I'm trying to run a business here.
I'm trying to run down a murderer. That's more important.
You looking at me, Blackie?
Possibly. Bill, you were the lyric writer in the Alton Rutley team, weren't you?
That's right.
I just wanted to make sure. Are you comfortable, Mrs. Rutley?
Yes, thank you, very.
Well, now that we're all here, I've got to confess something. Yesterday morning, I left Hendricks and Mary in this office. Went into a piano room where I found the murdered body of Dick Alton. And I picked up a piece of music manuscript paper that was lying on the floor near the body.
Dick was putting a tune down on paper when I left him.
Dick was working on that music when his killer walked in. He took one look and feverishly wrote down five notes at the bottom of the manuscript page. Here's the manuscript paper, and I'm going to play you the five notes right now. All right to use your piano, John?
Well, all right, go ahead.
Thanks. Now, here are the five notes. That's all. Just those five notes. Anybody recognize the tune?
Means nothing to me, Blackie.
No, I don't recognize.
That's because there are no harmonies. Listen to it now.
Hey, that's Joe Jim Cohan's Mary. What's that got to do with this?
Everything. The first line of the lyric, the one that matches these notes, is, "'Cause it was Mary." Dick Alton named his murderer just before he was shot. Mary Rutley, you killed Dick Alton. Grab a Faraday. Don't let a guy out that door.
Don't worry. I got it. Let me go. I had to do it. I tell you, I had to.
Well, that's a fitting climax in a music publishing office. I supply the words and music, and a murderess decides to sing. What don't you understand, Faraday, is if that were news.
Why Mrs. Rutley killed her husband's partner?
Anybody knows the answer to that, Inspector.
Sure. Anybody but me. Do you know Miss Wesley?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Dick Alton had seen Mrs. Rutley gambling at the Rio Club. He threatened to tell her husband if she didn't stop. But she couldn't stop. She had to try to win enough money to put back in the joint account that she'd been draining.
Touchdown for Mary Wesley.
Thank you, sir.
So Mrs. Rutley killed Alton because she knew he would expose her. What about her coming into the building and the elevator, Blackie? You checked the time.
She simply used the stairs the first time when she shot Alton and left the building and then came back a half an hour later using the elevator where she could be seen.
Oh, you were such a genius, Blackie, when you had a clue like that music thing in your pocket all the time. It practically told you that Mary Rutley murdered Alton.
You could have gotten it the same way I did, Faraday. But it yourself. That's what I did.
Huh?
I knew my facts were right, but I couldn't prove any of them, so I had to pretend that Dick Alton had named his killer in the hope of getting her to make a break. And she did. Well, aren't you going to congratulate me?
What for? You getting married?
No, I'm solving this case for you, Faraday.
You solved it for me? You solved it for yourself, so you could ride all over me next time. You know, Blackie, I've got half a mind...
Hold it right there, Inspector.
Right where?
Right where you were. You said, I've got half a mind. And you know something, Inspector? That's the first time you've been right in years.
My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, the exciting drama of people who walk the great white way, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Afternoon sun strikes glints on Broadway's pavements, and the perfumes of summer drift in from meadows never known, from tropic seas that were never sailed, from green hills veiled in mist and imagined in childhood, drift and die against neon blood of its color. But the illusion still rides the silken vessel of a girl's summer frock, and the season dances in her slow, languid walk, and her passing is reflected in chrome and steel. There's crowd between you and her, and there's loss.
So walk away from it, kid, and order the beer and skim off the longing. Summer, too, will finally pass from Broadway. For the policeman, there's this, the corridor to be walked, the corridor at whose end lie the anonymous dead, the unclaimed dead. Walk it and push open a swinging door that opens onto the city's morgue. Stand for a moment against the stillness and move into it.
Over here, Danny. This one.
What about him? Fill me in, Muggerman.
It's a summer's day, Danny, and you and
don't
I have to...
Don't cry about it, kid. Just tell me, huh?
Well, this is the one they brought in yesterday, Danny. One those boys and girls found buried in the sand on Coney Island. When they dug him out, they also found a knife wound in his chest. Made them sad. They turned off the portable radio, stopped dancing.
You identify him yet?
Yeah, that's why I called you.
All right, you called me.
The man was in his beach trunks. No wallet on him, no bundle of clothes, not even a locker tag.
You want me to compliment you on how hard you worked for his identity?
Yeah, it would be nice. All he had was some numbers tattooed on his arm. The kind they were, their sequence, I figured they were Social Security type. So I checked the agency in Baltimore. They had him in their files. He used to work Carney's. Just came in on the teletype.
Who is he?
A man by the name of Joey Croft. Now runs a palace of fun down in Coney. Him and a partner. I checked on the partner. They tell me a dish, Danny. A dish by the name of Letty Scott. You going to talk to her? Coney on a nice day. Sure you will.
And leave the place of the tagged and cataloged dead. The clean and quiet room where death is pigeonholed. Accounts current for homicide. Leave there and out into beginning twilight. And the drive now to Coney. And Coney Island on a mild summer's evening is carnival. Is pink cotton candy and things that spin and things that whirl. And Coney is 10 shots for a quarter. And guess your weight and down rushing rides and carousel. Giddiness, laughter, hot dogs, arcades. And little Egypt's oldest granddaughter. Ask a question of a man in a harlequin suit who needed a shave. And be directed to some steps and a frosted glass door to an office.
Come in. Hi.
Hello.
Well, thanks.
For what?
For the stare. What else do you have on your mind?
I'm from the police. My name's Danny Clover.
I asked you something.
Yeah, you did. It's about Joey Croft.
All right, it's about Joey Croft. Sit down, wait for him. Go ahead, do that. I'm his partner. He seems surprised he sees you sitting in his chair when he comes in. Say, Letty said you would do that.
Joey's dead. He was found yesterday on the beach, Miss Scott, dead, stabbed to death. He's in the morgue.
Let me alone, will you?
All right.
Let me alone. Dead?
That's right. Murdered.
What, a fight, an argument with somebody? Joey's temper... How? Who did it?
We don't know. What about you?
Are you kidding?
Did you kill him?
I'm a girl who used to ride elephants. That makes me kind to all animals and nearly all people. And I was real kind to Joey. I don't go around killing him.
Where were you yesterday?
Here, all day. I was here all day, mister. Listen, you, I can prove it. I didn't... What am I yelling for? Ask around. I was here all day.
Let's assume that, Miss Scott. Let's assume you were here. You didn't kill Joey. Partner. You must have known him pretty well.
You just said it. I was his partner.
What about it, then? Who didn't like him?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get somebody in trouble because I knew Joey pretty well, and I'm going to miss Joey. Find yourself a boy named Fred Moore, and I'll tell you where to find him.
Who's Fred Moore?
He once worked here. In a clown suit on his way to being a geek. Stole some dough. Joey screamed. They took off Fred's clown suit and dressed him like they do in Dannemora. Fred got 3 years. Now he's out.
You said you knew where to find him. Where?
Seagirt. I took a walk down there a week or so ago. Saw Fred sitting on a porch, rocking in a chair. The hotel there. The Ocean Rest. He waved to me. I waved to him. He got up from his rocker. I walked away fast. Ask him what you asked me. Ask him, did he kill Joey Croft?
And tell her you'll do that when you find him. And tell her to stay close to her palace of fun. All hers now. No partners. Because you'll want her to be there if there's need to come back. and leave her. Leave the taunting that lies close on her lips and changes color as neon spins. And on the ride to Seagirt, carnival ebbs. Its sounds muted, its lights flung against the darkening, mist-laden skies and holds. And at the edge of laughter, the hotel, Ocean Rest, its paint scarred, blistered, peeling. On its screen porch, a row of frayed and empty rockers swaying to the tides of night wind. And inside, a woman sweeping the sand leavings of the happy vacation time folk. And be told, if you want to know anything, ask of the property owner. The owner, Mr. Zabrowski, a knower of everything. The proper party to ask. Ask in the morning when Mr. Zabrowski comes back from catching night fish. Question her about a guest named Fred Moore. Be told, not here, not no more. Checked out. Be told, Zabrowski. Everything is Zabrowski. So issue an all-points bulletin on Fred Moore. Go home. Sleep out night. And in the morning, come back to Ocean Rest.
Want me to stay out here, Danny?
Yeah, wait.
Don't go inside, you.
What?
Out here is better. You're the police fella asking around the cleaning woman last night.
That's right. You, Mr. Zabrowski?
I didn't catch no fish in case you would care to ask. You don't care, huh?
I'm looking for Fred Moore.
Freddy the geek, Freddy the guzzler, Freddy the ex-con. How a man can do such things to his body. Go fight a geek.
Your cleaning woman said he checked out. When?
Maybe two nights ago. Maybe same two nights ago on day Joey Croft was killed. I read this morning's paper. I say to me, was this same two nights ago Joey Croft was knifed? And Freddy checked out. The next night, the police fellow. Freddy killed a man.
You know where he went?
I was strong man once, police fellow. Look at me. You could believe it?
I asked you if you knew where Fred
was. Strong man broke chains across my chest at carnivals. So it does not matter to me where killers run to hide. I do not care. I go fishing.
What makes you so sure he's the killer?
He told me. He said to me, Zabrowski, this Joey Croft wronged me. Put me in prison. Wrong me. I fix him. This he said to me on this porch. I do not argue. I do not discuss with private matters of geeks. I give money to geeks for booze. I am their friend.
When did he say all this to you?
First day he come here to Ocean Rest. Say, put me on cuff. Soon I have much money. I laugh how geek can get such money. He told me. He say he fixed Joey Croft. I call Joey, tell him to walk soft, because
Danny,
geek is...
What do you want, Muggerman?
Just come over the radio. Somebody spotted Fred Moore.
A citizen spotted him West 16th, Danny, in Manhattan.
Okay, let's go.
Cops, huh?
Who are you?
I discovered him, Mac. I'm the kid that found Fred Moore.
Where is he?
Up there, second floor. He's in the front.
Come on, Muggerman.
I was walking down the street out front, made a purchase at the drugstore, including a newspaper. So right next to the box scores is this picture in the paper. This man wanted for questioning in connection with murder. Then walking back down the block, there he is, going into here. And the shades went down from that room there.
You've been a big help, mister. You just walk down the other end of the hall and wait there.
Hey, now look, I'm the kid that discovered him.
Walk.
Sure.
Fred, open up. It's the police.
Lights come in front of the door.
Try the knob.
Drunk. Yeah, smell this, Danny. Pretty lousy bourbon. What's the matter? He's Fred Moore, isn't he? He's the man we were...
Yeah, he's Fred Moore.
Not drunk, huh?
No. He's dead. Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. How would you like to be an economist? Or better still, an economic engineer. Let's suppose that you are one and you're given a job.
This job is to set a town of 12,000 people on its feet. There's a hitch, of course, otherwise you wouldn't be asked to step in. The problem is that the town, though it lies on the seashore, is in an isolated tropical country. One good thing you discover when you arrive is that just offshore are shrimp. Here, you are sure, is the beginning of a big industry and the beginning of economic recovery. You talk to the citizens and learn that they have a fleet of shrimp boats, a fleet that consists of two decrepit old boats. They had thought of exporting shrimp, but that takes ice. And making ice takes power plants. Power plants need water. And skilled technicians, then schools to educate more technicians. And money. More money than the town has. This you can get, you can borrow. So what you first decide is, get the money and spend it. Thousands and thousands of dollars. Then, as the whole picture crowds in on you, you think, the whole thing's impossible. But finally, after much study, you realize that it actually can be done. And you settle yourself to the long, long haul, thinking, make haste, but carefully. Throughout the world, this is what the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the World Bank, is doing. It is an agency of the United Nations, which is man's best hope for economic development, for peace, and for justice.
The summer day on Broadway is a slow carousel. And the mob walks in dream time, easy, and stops there to watch the juggler and the pancakes spinning in the window. And there, the spectacular and death-defying act of the jaywalker. And walks again, stops again to drink at the enameled and lighted fountain of eternal orange juice. It's the languid time on Broadway, the easy smile time. And it's clown and a girl blowing kisses, the end of the fabulous ride that costs only a dime. If it comes to one corner or another, turns off, ebbs, searches a side street, or goes home. And where I was, the house on West 16th, the seeking was over with, done. Death was here.
Slugged in the back of the head, huh, Danny?
Oh, maybe.
So what's with the maybe? Fred Moore was beat right here where the blood is. You're not going to fight me on that, are you?
You heard me, just maybe, Muggy. Oh, go call the boy who spotted Fred.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, come in. In here.
Here he is, Danny.
What's your name?
I wasn't wrong, huh? That's Fred Moore, all right?
Lieutenant asked you something. What's your name?
Ray. I'm Ray Kendall. Hey, what's the matter with him? What's all... Let me out of
just
here.
Just take it easy, Mr. Kendall.
He hurt bad? He dead?
Anybody else walk in or out of this apartment house while you were standing outside?
Sure. I guess so.
You guess so or you know?
I'm no cop. I said sure, I guess so because I guess so.
Can you describe anybody who went in or out?
I don't know who went in that house. I see a wanted guy. I'm supposed to be a deputy or something. I'm supposed to walk up to him and say, hey, Buster, no more of that. You're pinched. I'm a guy. That's all. I don't do things like that. Me, I'm scared to death half the time, and you expect me to get...
Yes?
This is the second time I called. Nobody answered the first time.
Who is this?
I'm Nora Forrest. You're in my apartment.
Where will I find you, Miss Forrest?
Not far. I'll be in East River Park, one of the park benches on 23rd.
Stay where you are. I'll be right there.
That's right. It's me you're looking for, mister. Sir, don't look no more.
Miss Forrest?
Uh-huh. Come on, sit down. Sit. You won't believe the frank discussions I had saving a place for you from other fellas. Fresh kids, too. Thanks.
We found Fred Moore dead in your room.
That's how I left him. Dead. Right off, I knew he was dead.
Tell me about it.
Right off, from the beginning. Like to the tune of Dear Hearts and Gentle People. Like that.
Any way you want.
You know, that's the first time that's been said to me. Anyway, goes back to a vacant lot in Sedalia, Missouri. Even the weeds were burned dry. It's where they set up a carny, and I did the hoochie-coochie in front of a sideshow tent.
Miss Forrest...
You said any way I want. You said that.
All right, go on.
Thanks. It attracted. Even Freddy it attracted. Freddy the Lush. He stood close up front and he cried. Real tears, mister. Honestly. Memories.
You went out with him?
A couple times. Girl said to me, Nora, baby, what are you building? What's the percentage in a sure thing geek? That's how they talked to you when you were crazy enough to go out with Freddy. They didn't know I'd seen this Lush cry.
You saw him after that?
A couple more times till I couldn't stand it no more. Then...
Well, then what?
Then the Connie lost them. After a while, they lost me, too. Then I read in Billboard, Freddy's up in Dannemora on a larceny rap. 3 years without booze. Say it'll do the kid good.
Did you write to him and keep in touch with him?
No.
But he found you, knew where you were.
He found me, all right. Took him a day. Took him till Sunday night. That's when he comes beating on my door with a bottle of booze. It's Sunday night, all dressed up, no place to go. So I let Freddy in.
How did he die, Nora?
My own way. Huh? I let Freddy in. And even though he's drunk, there's something different about the lad. Like he was daring the world, like he'd done something big. Even came through the haze of purpose. Be nice to me, Nora, he said. Be nice while you got the chance. There's others standing in line, he said. But Dannemora does things.
How did he die?
First he danced, real nice. Real turn, bus step. Then he passes out on a couch. Morning, he wakes up, goes out to buy more hooch. Comes back in 5 minutes and turns the radio on real loud and gets fancy. Opens the bottle. Tries to pour some down my mouth and spills it on my shoulders. And I push him away and fall. His head hits the sink pipe. Right to the beat of the music. Like it was a drum or something. Like...
Well, if it was like that, why did you run away?
He was dead. So what could I do for him?
So take her to city jail. Hold her as material witness. Then leave her. Back to my office. Order the coffee and the ham sandwich and sit there. Think about it. A man found dead Saturday on Coney Beach. Identified as Joey Croft. Sunday. And a lead as to his killer, a man named Fred Moore. Fred Moore, an ex-con with a motive for murder. And find him Monday, dead. And think about it some more, and it all gets mixed up with the carnival sounds, roller coasters and hawkers and calliope, mixed up with a strong man gone to fat and two carnival women. In the middle of all of it, a door opens and Sergeant Tartaglia interrupts.
Here, Danny. Coffee and a ham sandwich on white. Hmm.
Told you no mayonnaise, Gino.
Don't knock it. It don't cost extra. Eat, Danny, eat. The way you're holding the sandwich, you're going to drop the lettuce.
I told you no lettuce, Gino.
Danny, Mama Tartaglia had a proverb she used to tell us anent food. It went like this. Do rabbits get scurvy? No, they nibble lettuce. The way Mama said it, it rhymed.
Thank you, Gino. Next time, no lettuce, huh?
As is your wont. Now to work, maybe?
No mayonnaise either.
You're interrupting, Danny. On the way up from the delicatessen, I stopped at my desk to pick up several items for your perusal.
Well, let me have them.
Eat, Danny. So eat already. I'll tell you about them. Item one, a memo from Gordon of Technical to wit. Flecks of blood found on drain pipe near head of deceased Fred Moore. More or less bear out the story of Miss Nora Forrest.
Mm. Well, go on.
An examination of Miss Forrest by our own Dr. Sinsky revealed several bruises such as might be inflicted in a tussle of the type she described for you.
Is there anything there on the record of Fred Moore?
Indeed, Danny. Fred Moore, in between jail sentences for petty theft, assault, and the like, worked around Cooney. His last jail sentence was for 3 years for larceny, and thereby hangs a tale.
Oh?
Indeed. The deceased Fred Moore was a model but lonely convict. In all of his 3 years there, Danny, no visitors. In spite of the amount of letters he wrote to everybody he ever knew, no visitors. Except Letty Scott.
Letty?
Uh-huh.
She was Joey Croft's partner.
Be that as it may, Danny, she visited Fred in the pokey. Twice. The last week he was in prison and the week before. And this is all I have.
Thanks, Gino. All in all, you did very well.
Danny. Hi again. I recognized your shadow behind the glass door. You two men know each other.
I meet him. This morning I speak with him.
How are you, Mr. Zabrowski?
Good, good.
Daddy used to be a strong man in the sideshow. Did he tell you that, Danny?
Yeah, he did. What are you doing here?
She, her, this one lady, she say come here.
I got lonely.
I can understand it. Everybody's dying.
Everybody does.
Take from the bottle, police fellow. Enough here for everybody.
Daisy, honey. Abby, that's not right. Yeah. It's not right at all. I'm giving this party for you. Don't you remember? I told you.
Police fella, you better go. It's my party.
No more.
It's my party, Letty.
Yours, honey.
See?
Going to have to wait. You know that, don't you, Letty?
I heard you've been asking around, talking to people. Cop talk.
Cop talk, little Letty.
That's right. About murder. Joey Croft.
I heard Fred Moore is dead, too. Now you can't ask him about Joe.
woman. You go now, huh?
With her.
How is that?
You stay here with me.
Anything you say, sugar. Yeah.
Let's talk some more about Fred Moore, shall we?
As long as Abby can stand you.
His death was an accident. Fred was drunk. He tried something, wound up on the floor with his head near a pipe.
Geek. Is geek way to die.
What did you think of Fred, Letty?
What Zabby said.
Why did you visit him at Dannemora?
My little girl don't visit Geek.
Twice, just before he was released. Why, Letty?
Business.
What business?
Oh, don't worry about it, sugar. Just you and I, 1 minute from now.
You got real tired of your partner, Joey Croft, didn't you?
Yeah, I got real tired of Joey Croft. It happens to me. Don't you worry about it, Zabby. It takes a long time.
Man like Fred, no friends, in prison for 3 years. A girl like you, beautiful girl, comes to visit him.
Something, huh? Second time I was there, the boys in cell block 8 beat their cups against the bars. Sure, I went there, Danny. Had a talk with Fred. It impressed him.
Made him promises and got him to kill Joey.
Zabby, how long can you stand this, sugar?
Wait.
All right, sugar. I'll tell you the rest, Danny. Fred killed Joey Saturday when he got out. Then Fred came to me and I gave him a bottle of booze for his trouble. When I sent him away, he felt like a man. That's how drunk he was.
Then wandered over to see a girl he'd known a long time ago, Nora Forrest. He could face her now. He'd accomplished something. He died. Let's go, Letty.
Sit there, honey, baby. You police fella, Letty don't go with you. She do nothing.
She bought herself a murder.
You do that, Letty?
Get him. Break him for me, Zabby. Like he used to do to Chains.
Yeah.
He's spoiling your party, Zabby. Get him.
Such thing to do to Geek.
Get him!
You're not pretty anymore. Take her away, police fella.
It's a happy time on Broadway. It's after the movies. Nobody wants to go home. It's a place strung against the night like a phosphorescent alley. And they're heaped there. The golden girl, the bright-eyed kid, the man with promises, and the guy who believes him. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat.
What can you do with 6 cents? Not much? Don't you believe it? Because for 6 cents a year, you, as an American taxpayer, are helping to provide medical care and nutrition to the underprivileged children of the world. You are doing this through UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. Created by the General Assembly of the United Nations in 1946, it did such fine work in helping the children in war-devastated countries that in 1950, it was decided to shift the emphasis from emergency relief to continuing aid for the world's children, particularly in underdeveloped countries.
through its maternal and child welfare services, its mass health programs, and its child nutrition program, it is making this world a better place to live in for millions of children. You are a part of the great work being done by this special body of the United Nations, and it costs you only 6 cents a year.
Broadway's My Beat is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. The program is written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calford as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. In tonight's story, Alvina Temple was heard as Letty, Lou Merrill as Mr. Zabrowski, Paula Victor as Nora Forrest, and Herb Vigran as Ray Kendall.
That's Case Closed for this week. If you want to hear more from Boston Blackie or Broadway Is My Beat, just visit the website relicradio.com, search for what you're after. You'll also find links there to the other podcasts, our Shoutcast Stream forum, and everything else Relic Radio. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can do so from the website as well. Click on that donate button. That's how this is all made possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.